Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. Maggie will be back on Monday, but I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media. If you're unfamiliar with me and my work, you can go check us out at www.therecombobulationarea.news. We've got a whole lot of stuff that we've been publishing recently from there as well. A lot of guest pieces. We actually have a guest column up today about Medicaid expansion from our friend Sean Fedeplace from the Main Street Alliance. Do check that one out. We had a piece yesterday posted from Angela Lang. Angela was here in studio as my co-host yesterday on the show. You can find that one as a podcast on civicmedia.us or on your favorite podcast app. The piece she wrote is called "Where Do We Go From Here?" We're headed to an era of a second Trump term. So she's trying to make sense of that. And I think it's a great piece. So do check that one out as well. And we are joined in studio for the rest of the show here for the full 3 o'clock hour by Marquette University professor and award-winning Recombobulation Area contributor, Phil Rocco. Phil, thanks so much for being here.
Salute. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And so you are here to discuss a piece that you wrote recently at the Recombobulation Area called Prisoners of the State. So outside of me asking you to write this piece a number of times, let's take a step back and recombobulate here. What is the story that you took a look at more closely here in this deep dive essay at the Recombobulation Area called Prisoners of the State?
So I was really into something happened in August, I guess it started, that really puzzled me. And it was interesting because nothing quite made sense. It was in the neighboring county, which is, of course, why it didn't make sense to me initially. I live in Milwaukee County. Story takes place in Waukesha County. And I wanted to understand what was going on. And what had happened was the county, which is sort of known for being and sort of advertises itself as being the almost like the antithesis of the way the Republicans portray Milwaukee in the news, Waukesha County is like low tax, efficient spending, you know, is able to sort of manage its own
just this conservative bastion of
right.
Yeah.
And what had happened was there was a proposal very similar to a Milwaukee county proposal to, you know, a very small increase in the sales tax.
Mm-hmm. So not dissimilar to what Chris Abley had been pushing for a decade.
Exactly.
For what David Crowley has been working for at the county for a long time to have a very small increase in the sales tax to fund a number of services that were going to be cut otherwise.
Right. And part of the point was this historic, quote unquote, historic infusion of shared revenue from the state, which was $274 million in total on an annualized basis, had really short-shrifted counties. That counties in Wisconsin, hugely important units of government, 72 of them, got about $50 million out of this $274 million deal. Mm. Not that much money. And
not that much.
When it
especially
comes to
out of the chump piece of the pie.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that really matters for counties because, you know, counties are, in addition to being units of local government that do things like provide services that people in the county want, like parks, transit, things of this nature, they're also on the hook for providing all of these mandatory services that the state forces them to provide because they're just an agent of the state government, right? So all of the court services, health and human, a lot of mandatory health and human services, mm-hmm. County sheriff's departments, these sorts of things. So counties are kind of on the hook for a lot. And so it's not surprising that in the absence of a lot of additional revenue, counties with growing populations like Waukesha County are going to have service needs that their current revenue levels, even with a, you know, property tax increase and so on, are going to exceed. There was this push for a very modest increase in the sales tax. Now, and the thing that was fascinating, yeah, go ahead.
And it was like 0.5%.
0.5%.
I think you said it in the piece too, but most counties in Wisconsin have already done this,
right? All but I think three.
Yeah.
And I think Manitowoc County is going to put one into place in
2025,
right? So I thought this was really interesting. And what was more, so I was like, okay, one, here's, you know, something that you don't tend to see in a kind of Republican stronghold, a tax increase proposal being pushed by the county executive. But then the more interesting thing was the reaction to it among the business community in Waukesha County was like the polar opposite of the reaction to the proposal in Milwaukee County. Milwaukee County, you had the Chamber of Commerce, MMAC, supported the sales tax increases. It was basically
in many ways we're driving the conversation for a long time.
Absolutely.
Like the MMAC, there's plenty that I disagree with about the MMAC, but they have for a really long time been pushing for this independent revenue stream for Milwaukee County that not only to address like some of these crushing budgetary needs, but also to have something that is independent from the whims of Madison too.
Yeah. And to put this in context, right. In the context of, local governments nationwide, local governments in Wisconsin are heavily dependent on property tax revenue. They have very little diversity in terms of the revenue sources that are available to them. And that's different in a way than a lot of other places around the country. And so in Waukesha County, very differently, the business community went four square against this property tax increase. And I think our former governor, Scott Walker, now a resident of Waukesha County, also got involved kind of tweeting out links to information from this kind of business coalition against the sales tax.
The Waukesha County Business Alliance was urging elected officials to, I think you put it in the piece, quote, slow down and reevaluate.
Right, which is, of course, code for in politics. Slow down and reevaluate means no. So, and ultimately that was successful in killing the proposal.
Right.
And so what...
That tweet went out in mid-October, October 16th. And then on October 22nd, Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrow tweeted that he was withdrawing the sales tax.
Yeah, this was like an hour before the meeting where they were going to vote on it. So it was a very like last minute pull the proposal.
Right.
And so, you know, the next thing that happened, and I think this is a pretty standard thing in local governments because they are, in fact, prisoners of the state. The state determines a lot of the revenue sources that they have, what they have to do. The next move that the county made was to pass a resolution kind of demanding a fair share, whatever that means, of, state shared revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So it, again, a huge surplus at the state, lots of unspent money, lots of money that could have been put into, shared revenue last time. Again, Tony Evers', proposal was like twice the size of, Republicans' proposal for shared revenue.
Right. And you documented that at length in your shared revenue series 2 years ago about how much more funding the Tony Evers proposal would have brought to counties and municipalities across the state. So I think the GOP, this was a GOP passed bill. They were negotiating with Milwaukee County. They were negotiating with a number of other stakeholders in this, Wisconsin Counties Association, whatever it might be. But the initial proposal from the governor would have gone far, far, far farther to fund local government than even that Republicans were even considering.
Yeah, Republicans would say, I think, compared to what their initial proposal was, the final bill that was passed and signed into law, you know, it moved a little bit. I mean, there were small increases, but they were really still, it was still like half of what Evers proposed.
Right.
And the other thing to consider, right, is Evers' bill kept the vast majority of the money for county and municipal aid is basically flexible. They could use most of the money, not all of it. Some of it had to be used for police, fire, EMS, but a lot of it is still sort of flexible aid. With the additional money that came in Act 12, none of it is additional flexible aid. It has to be used for a very narrow series of purposes. So, again, these are things that sort of put fetters on counties, on municipalities. And so naturally, after this sales tax thing failed, The county board in Waukesha passed a resolution to kind of make a demand, which is, you know, really just a sort of lobbying
resolution.
It's
kind of just like the pretty strongly pleased. Worded letter.
Yeah, it's the strongly worded letter.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that it doesn't matter, but it sort of immediately was met with a rebuke from one of Waukesha County senators in Madison. You know, also a Republican, same party as the county executive, but basically said, look, you guys need to get your act together and, you know, clean house fiscally and, you know, tough luck. You should not expect anything else to come out of Madison, despite the fact that we have this big surplus. And I thought that was really kind of interesting. And it made me, I want to look a little bit deeper about sort of like, why have counties gotten this kind of short shrift? Why in particular, I think one of the big claims that Waukesha County executives and others made was that the county performed worst in terms of the amount of money it got back from the state. And I was kind of curious about why that was, and also why the amount of money that that Waukesha County got was so limited.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in and actually sort of did a deeper dive, even than I did when I did that initial series for you, on what the formula was that gave money to counties and municipalities. And the municipal one is somewhat easier, but the county one defies description. We'll get into it, I guess, after the break. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing the music come
mm-hmm.
up. So...
Cardi's on it back there. Yeah, we'll get into more after the break, but I think your research showed that, you know, Waukesha was among the counties that were getting the lowest per capita level of aid as well.
And so, we're right there with them in Milwaukee. So.
And right next to Milwaukee. So, you know, it's so interesting to see the difference in perception about how we're talking about these things when it comes to if it's happening in Milwaukee versus when it's happening in Waukesha County. If you'd like to join the conversation, Phil is going to be sticking with us for the rest of the hour here on the Maggie Dawn Show. So shoot us a text, give us a call, 855-752-4842. We'd love to hear from you. Again, I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer, joined here for the rest of the 3 o'clock hour by Marquette University professor Phil Rocco, and we will be right back.